Okay, thanks. I'm very excited and thankful to be giving this talk. So I wanted to say that. And my goal in this talk is to give, to share with you a construction that I discovered that the title is a little long, but it allows to bootstrap some classical results in dilation theory and obtain new results in dilation theory for tuples of operators or for product system representations. So a few words about dilation theory. You all know what it is, but so we have a big category with objects that we like to understand, and inside there's a much smaller subcategory that we think we understand, or we think is more elegant, and we're trying to understand every object by showing that it is part of a well-understood object. So the example that I think will be that, well, it's been discussed, is semigroups of contraction semigroups. So we have some semigroup, let's say, in R plus K, and we have a family of contractions. That's why we call it contractive. And semigroup means that we have this equality and this. So these are going to be the big category right now, contractive semigroups, and the small category will be isometric semigroups, which are better understood, and they sometimes people look for unitary semigroups, but we know that isometric semigroups have coextension to unitary semigroups, so we can take isometries to be the small category here. Okay, so an isometric dilation is a semigroup V acting on a Hilbert space K that contains H such that pH Vs restricted to H is equal to TS for every S. And this is familiar. I'm now going to also define a concept that is maybe not familiar to everybody. So it is called regular if we have this pH Vs minus Vs plus restricted to H, and here is star, for every S in S minus S. So I'll spell this out for a minute. What do I mean by this? So let's say that we just have, if the semigroup is nk, then the contractive semigroup is just given by the k-tuple te1, te2, etc., where e1 is the usual basis of n to the k, etc. It's obvious that every semigroup over nk is just given by this k-tuple. So a regular dilation here would mean, so assume we have two, we have just T1 and T2. So a regular dilation means that we have V1 and V2, isometries that commute. Yes, no one caught me. A semigroup over NK is just a commuting n-tuple given by these guys. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a semigroup over NK, right? So, to have the dilation, a semigroup indexed by the same semigroup means that these dilating isometries commute.
Is that equal to something what you got at the bottom?
That's a good question. It is. But I'm now, thanks. So, so a, that's right. So, in this case, we don't only have the usual equality we have for dilations, which will be V1 to the N1, V2 to the N2 restricted equals T1 to the N1, T2 to the N2, but we will also have PH V1 to the N1 star V2 to the N2 restricted without the star equals T1 N1 star T2 N2. So that's a regular dilation. It means that you also have something that works with the adjoints, but this one has to be different than this one. You can't have T1 here with an adjoint and T1 here without an adjoint. That's not going to work, usually. So this is the notion of regular dilation. I'm going to need this. And it's a well-studied problem, I think still a little mysterious, when, for what semigroups exactly, you have existence of an isometric dilation for every contractive semigroup T. And it's the Nash dilation theorem that for the semigroup equal to the integers, you have it. And it's Endo's theorem for N, S equal to N squared, you have it. But for N, for S equal to N to the K, where K is greater than 2, we don't have it in general, and you need other assumptions on the semigroup to get the existence of the isometric dilation. So you want to assume more things about the semigroup T, and then you might get existence of an isometric dilation, but sometimes when you pay more, you get more. So I'll just give you an example of such a theorem, because this is the theorem I'm going to generalize, is that in this case, if each one of these guys is a contraction and they commute, but if they are mutually small enough, then there exists a regular isometric dilation. And this is a classical result. It is due, I believe, to Nash. You can find it in his book, and he doesn't say really who it's due to. I think it's to him. I didn't understand. Okay. So this is a classical. This is all classical dilation theory. Now, I want to introduce another category in which we can do this dilation business. And it's one of my favorite categories. And this is product systems and their representations. So I wrote this in advance because it's tedious to write the definitions. So what is a product system? It's a family of X, of Hilbert spaces in this talk, with the first fiber being the complex numbers, and you have unitaries from the tensor products to x over the point s plus t, and they have to, this equality over here means that they have to compose associatively. And a rough way to say it is to say just that xs tensor xt equals xs plus t, and that we can, and these identifications are associative. So that's a product system. And these objects were introduced by Arveson in a more restrictive setting. I think they were studied first in a generality over a general semigroups, but without analytic restrictions by Fowler. So these are product systems. and these product systems have representations. And before I go through this definition of a representation of a product system, let me just say that all this stuff, representations of product system, is very well motivated. I don't have time to go into that, but there's a half-hour coffee break after that, and if someone is not motivated, I will be happy to tell him to talk to Bill and... I will explain. Okay. So a representation of a product system on a Hilbert space, H, given to us, it's a family of mappings, TS from XS to B of H, that is linear and completely contractive. Never mind in what operator space norm it's completely contractive. And, right, T0 goes to the, is a trivial representation of C. And it satisfies this multiplicativity condition. If we have an XS in X, in large XS, and XT in the space XT, then the map of the product is the product of their maps. So this is, respects the structure of the product system, but not everything. And this is just a notation. When we put a tilde over the TS, it is the map from the tensor product of XS tensor H in the usual Hilbert setting, Hilbert space tensor product to H. That does the only thing you can do with it if you have T. Okay, this is a very convenient notation. So T is called isometric if we have this equality. This used to be called just representation. And this happens if and only if T tilde is an isometry. Actually, T tilde carries all the information about T and vice versa, and the norm of T tilde is the completely bounded norm of T. Okay. So these are representations of product systems, and I want to go into now what it means to dilate these objects. Okay. And that's the last one of the surprise blackboards I made for you, okay? So don't worry. So if you're given a product system and the representation of X on H, a dilation V of X is something that represents X on a bigger Hilbert space, and it satisfies the very natural equality up there, familiar from other notions of dilation. And it's called a regular dilation if it satisfies this more complicated equality. So, to give an example of what I'm talking about before I go on, look at the simplest example where S is equal to N, and X then has to be, X at the point N is just X1 tensor power with itself N times. This is obviously a product system, and it's the only kind of product system you get. And the representation is given simply by a row contraction. What is K? K is the dimension of X1. So every row contraction gives a representation, and every representation in this setting is just a row contraction. And what is a dilation? So a dilation is a Bunge-Frazo-Popescu dilation, the usual non-commutative dilation. Okay, so this captures a lot of examples and a lot of interesting settings. So people, for various reasons, people wanted to prove existence of isometric dilations for product system representations. And this was obtained for various semigroups by various people. This is Mulier and Solel. This is Solel and Davidson, Powell, Yang. And this is Mulier, Solel, and Sky Delator in a different method. And well, I used to be Baruch Solel's student until not long ago, and I was best taught with his proofs. And I noticed that there's a lot of analogy here to the classical theory. Some of it you can just see that it's physical, it looks the same. But also the proofs, although they are more complicated, sometimes they take the ideas from the classical proofs, and then you have to make some adjustments, sometimes not trivial, but some technical adjustments, and you get a new proof. So after seeing several of these proofs, you think maybe there's a pattern here, and maybe we can construct some channel where we can just import the results, not the method, from the classical theory, and boom, get results in the theory of product system representation. And this is what we're going to try to do now. Okay. So if we want to use the classical theory, we want a representation, we want a contractive semigroup on a Hilbert space. So we want to construct a Hilbert space and a contractive semigroup given T and X. So the Hilbert space, we want all the information on X, so we want to think of a Hilbert space that has all the information on X. Let's take this one. Okay, but we want all the information, I'm sorry, we don't want all the information on X, we want all the information on T, and T, there's a representing space here, so let's tensor this with H. And as for the semigroup T, we want to use T. So if we act on a typical element, a typical element in XU, so what is it going to do? Well, if XU is, if I'll do it like this, if U is equal to S plus T for some T, in this case, we can suppose that XU is equal to XT tensor XU, because this generates XS plus T because of this equality here, the red equality. So we're acting on XT tensor X tensor H, and we just map it to XT tensor TS acting on XS acting on H. It's really the only thing we can do. And if U is not like that for any T, then we just send it to zero because we don't know what to do. So we have constructed a Hilbert space and a semigroup that have all the information of the representation, and that's it. Okay, right now, I'm sure it's not very impressive, but look what we get. So we made this construction here, and now we want to talk about dilation. So the theorem, the main theorem is this. So T star hat has regular isometric dilation implies T has a regular isometric dilation. And so corollary, if So we are assuming in this corollary that S, I'm going to prove this theorem in a minute, but I just want to show you an example of the corollary. There are others. You can prove many, not so many, but several dilation theorems, some new and some old, using this construct, this theorem. So if S is equal to nk, and we have a norm condition on the tildes, then there is a regular isometric dilation. And this is also can be written as a norm condition of the completely bounded norm of T. And okay, and
what is the sum over that?
The sum is over, it's not E1, thanks. I knew that if I would give a simple talk, people would be attentive. So thank you. As far as I know, this is a new result. Forget about the... Okay, so this... I forgot to say that you can make this much more general by looking at a product system of Hilbert C-star correspondences. But in the Hilbert space, we talk about tuples of operators satisfying relations between the tuples. So as far as I know, and I'll be happy if someone corrects me, this is new even in the tuple case. Okay. So let's prove this theorem. Yeah, maybe I'll use this. This. Oh, okay. Yeah. Looks just like mine. Okay, so, see, we don't have much time, but here's how the proof goes. Proof goes like this. So we have a semigroup V hat acting on a curly K Hilbert space which contains curly H, and what we want to construct is V which represents X on a Hilbert space that contains H. And you write curly H like this. So you do the only thing you can do. You define K to be the sum of the spaces, the span of the spaces, XS tensor H acted upon by V hat S. It's the same S here and here.
You mean T instead of V?
No. My assumption is that T has a regular isometric dilation, V hat acting on this. Yeah. Yeah. So I already have it in my hand because this is because I'm assuming it, really. Perhaps before I go on, I should say that here, this inequality from the definition of T immediately implies, maybe it's not clear, this inequality. It immediately implies this. The norm of T hat is the norm of T tilde. So we have this, and then T hat as a regular isometric dilation. So by this theorem, T also has a regular isometric dilation. Okay. So you're souping on this. And the action of V, S, XS on some typical element here, you just
you got to do something with the V, but you have a V hat S, so you put it here. Right, they compose like this, and you got to do something with the XS. We just tensor it with the XT. Now you got to prove that. So this is the definition of V. You have to prove that this is well defined, that this is isometric, that this is a representation, and that it's a regular dilation. And all of this follows from the definition, from the fact that V hat is a regular dilation of T hat. So I won't go into the rest of the verification. I'm just going. So I'll sum up now. Now, one of the limitations of this method has limitations. For example, it doesn't go the other way. So you can prove when a representation does not have a dilation. And another thing that to commute here, we want to compute prove that this is well defined. So we have to compute inner products. And if you ever did anything like this, you know that to compute inner products, you will want to know what happens with these kind of terms. And if it's a regular dilation, you know what happens with these kind of terms. And if it's not a regular dilation, you don't know what to do. So the analog of Andel's theorem for product system representations, you cannot prove using this method. Okay, that's limitations of the method. I will come to a last limitation soon, but before the last limitation, I think it's nice, the existence, a regular isometric dilation is no condition when you're talking about a semigroup S equals N. Because you will have here either this or this. There's no condition here. So every contraction has a regular isometric dilation, and you get the Boone-Sfrazzo-Popescu non-commutative dilation as an immediate consequence of the Nagy dilation theorem, which I think is nice. And the last thing I want to say, another limitation is, okay, so you have this non-commutative dilation result following from the one operator case, but can you have obtain multivariable commuting dilation results from the one operator case? This method, for me, does not carry through in this setting, and it would be interesting to know if this can be done. Okay, so that's it. Thank you very much.